This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Temptations this morning to warm us up. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I am a little under the weather. I went to the dentist yesterday and, you know, he did a lot of work. And I got a little swollen mouth, but we'll keep going today because that's the kind of people we are. We thank you very much for joining I and my buddy Big Ed Davis this morning on a Wednesday, February the 23rd. Wow. We only got 5 days left in the doggone month. In a few minutes, Alexis Braycheck of the Heritage Foundation is going to join us. We're going to be talking about something that she is an expert in, and based on her background, the Ukrainian situation, the Russian invasion, the I guess you could call it the ongoing invasion now. They've already crossed the border in certain areas. And the question of whether or not the U.S. is doing enough to thwart the whole doggone thing. Biden was on the air yesterday talking about how we're doing an incremental, whatever you want to call it, slapping of Russia. I don't know if that's working. I don't think Putin gives a damn right now about the incremental slaps. Also, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, did you know he took a jab at White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki yesterday? Yesterday was Margarita Day. And he took a jab at her about rising inflation. Psaki had told a press briefing not long ago that people who are angry about rising cost should step back, among other things, and maybe down a margarita before confronting it. Well, he did a video with the margarita. We're going to talk about it with the proprietor of the barber pole a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi. Also, the Supreme Court is going to hear the case of a website designer who will not work a gay web wedding announcement. That, you know, that's about as many W's as I've ever said in one sentence there. Website designer who will not work a gay web wedding announcement. We're going to take a look at that if we can talk about it without stumbling over our own tongue this morning. And by the way, we have a great Ultimate Top 10. The top 10 biggest grossing movies of 2021. I want to see if Ed, who likes movies, will know what number one is. Maybe he already knows. I don't know. We'll find out. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, and I'm sorry, women, this is a men's barbershop. It's like when men were men and women were women and women went to hair salons. Men did not go to hair salons. They went to barbershops because they got a good haircut there. So Andrew's Master Barbershop is for men. It's the best barbershop in the Tampa Bay area, for my money. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. That is on Overcash Drive. It is just north of State Road 580 Main Street. You call, guys, for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. All right. So, I don't know. I'm watching Joe Biden get up again and squint at the camera as he talks about how he is sanctioning Russia. And I'm thinking, what? He's talking about a couple of banks that are going to stop doing business with Russia or something. Why don't we get the entire banking system to stop doing business with Russia. Won't that make a difference? I know it's easier said than done, but isn't there worldwide outrage at what Putin is doing? Putin is, a lot of people are now saying that Putin has changed, that he has become rather strange, surly, angry. Or is this a pent-up emotion? And of course, everybody's trying to psychoanalyze, why is he wanting to do this to the Ukraine? Some people say he wants to reestablish the USSR, bring all those countries back into the fold, or as many of them as he can. Other people say he wants this buffer with the Ukraine, with the NATO countries that are surrounding Russia, other than the Ukraine sitting there. And so there's that viewpoint. There's a third idea that he wants to establish his own legacy, not be in the shadows of people like Gorbachev or Stalin or possibly Nikita Khrushchev, some of the earlier, what would you call them, premiers, dictators of Russia. But he's a dangerous character, that is for sure. Now, an update, Ukraine's foreign ministry is warning its citizens across the border in Russia to leave immediately, as uncertainty surrounds the next military moves. As in, they might do something bad to you if you stick around. There's about 200,000, did you know it's about 200,000 troops now along that border with the Ukraine, Russian troops? Here's an interesting thing. Lithuania and Poland support Ukraine's joining the European Union. It's kind of a little late, isn't it? Maybe they want to join, but I don't think Putin, with half of his military force wandering around in the Ukraine, is going to allow that. But it says here in a joint statement today, Lithuania and Poland, both close neighbors to Ukraine, said that the Eastern European country deserves EU candidate status, and that Lithuania and Poland will support Ukraine in achieving this goal. We, the presidents of Ukraine and Poland, express our strongest condemnation of the decision by the Russian Federation to recognize the quasi-entities in the temporarily occupied territories of Ukraine. We urge Russia to de-escalate and to withdraw. Well, great. I don't think the words are going to make any difference right now. And of course, Putin has been talking like he's taking various portions, have you noticed, of the Ukraine. He's taking different parts. He says, these parts are really Russian parts, so we're just taking them back. They want to be with us. By the way, this is, I might as well mention this before we go to break. When I'm sitting in the dentist chair yesterday, the dentist's helper is Ukrainian, a Ukrainian woman. She's about the nicest woman in the world and very good at what she does. So we got into a long discussion after the Novocaine ad. You know how you have to sit there in the chair for 20 minutes. We got into a long discussion about the Ukrainian situation, and she has a very interesting take. Her father is Russian and her mother is Ukrainian. They married, and there was a lot of that going on with Eastern Ukraine. There's a lot of pro-Russian sympathy in the eastern section of Ukraine. And I said, well, what do you think of Putin? She didn't come right out and say, he's a madman or a Hitler or anything like that. I think there's a lot of people in the Ukraine that kind of, respect him. It's very interesting about that. It's not cut and dried. It's not like all of Ukraine wants to be independent of Russia. There's a goodly portion of the Ukraine people, especially in the east, that would not mind being taken back into the Russian Federation. They're not pro-Western. Very interesting.
Well,
very interesting. Now, Ukraine is a country, we all have diverse opinions, right? Mm-hmm. Ukraine just as much as anybody else. But come on, it's a country. You can't have another country marching in and say, well, this part likes us better, so we'll take that. And, you know, march across your border.
Yeah,
and do that.
It'd be different if they had some sort of elections to say we want to hook back up with Russia on our own free will.
Yeah, like Texas wanting to secede from the United States.
Sure, yeah.
They have to go through some sort of a formal process.
Right.
It's pretty scary, though, isn't it?
It's pretty scary. Yeah, and it's just the trigger for everything, too. Gas is going to start skyrocketing.
It really is, yeah. We're going to talk about some of that with our guests here. We're going to take our break. Alexis Moracek from the Heritage Foundation will be with us, and we will talk a little bit about what is going to happen in Ukraine.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Wednesday morning and delighted to have Alexis Moracek join us. She is a research associate for Russia and Eurasia at the Douglas and Sarah Allison Center for Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation and knows a lot, I'm sure, about what is going on over in the Ukraine right now. And Alexis, welcome back to Freedom Works. I got to ask you, everybody is now trying to look inside the head of Vladimir Putin to figure out why he is all of a sudden acting the way he is. So I've been hearing that some people think there's been a change in him. Have you heard that? Do you agree with that?
It does look like there could be a change in him. I know during his speech on Monday, he was acting kind of strange. I think, honestly, Putin would like to take over all of Ukraine. I don't think that will happen. I don't think that the Ukrainian military would allow it to happen. Putin has essentially already, invaded Ukraine. He's sending Russian troops to the eastern part of Ukraine, and it looks like he wants to just take over more and more territory.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see how Ukraine by itself has any ghost of a chance. There's 190,000 troops right now congregated around the Ukrainian border. A bunch of them have crossed into certain territories. I know that it sounds like Putin says, well, these people want us to come in, because they feel that they're a part of Russia, blah, blah, blah. We're just taking back what belongs to us. You know, that old situation. But a lot of people are comparing what Putin is doing right now to what Adolf Hitler did in 1939 as he gradually started grabbing pieces of land around Germany. Do you see any comparison?
I don't see much of a comparison. I think that this is mostly a different situation, especially just given the historical context. Putin likes to claim that Ukraine came from Russia, but it's actually the opposite. Russia actually wasn't a country when Ukraine became a country in the 900s. And so given the history, I think that it's different from the Adolf Hitler situation.
Yeah. Well, that's probably good news, because what Adolf Hitler did led to World War II. So people are very worried that this can easily expand past just a skirmish between Russia and the Ukraine. But I'm getting a sense from you that you don't think that's necessarily going to happen.
Well, we definitely can't rule that out because if a full-scale invasion does happen of Ukraine, there is a chance that it could spill over to neighboring countries. And a lot of the countries that border Ukraine are part of NATO. And so if the war spills over to these countries, the U.S. automatically has to be involved in this war because it is part of the NATO alliance. And Article 5 of the North Atlantic Treaty states that an attack on one member of NATO, one or more members, is an attack on the whole alliance. So the U.S. would have to be involved, so we definitely can't rule out that possibility, which is kind of scary.
We're talking with Alexis Marichek. She is a research associate for Russia and Eurasia at the Douglas and Sarah Allison Center for Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. And a few days ago, Alexis, before Putin made his move, you were talking about how the U.S. should help defend the Ukraine and what could be done. So I'm going to ask you this. Now that he's gone ahead and did his launch, Putin, do you think that Biden and the Biden administration is wrapping the knuckles of Putin hard enough? Do you think he's doing enough right now to stop Putin from whatever he's trying to do?
Well, we would not even be in this situation were it not for Biden. I think that Putin is very much taking advantage of Biden's weakness, especially given the failed Afghanistan pullout last August. I think that the Biden administration honestly is trying to catch up with the actions it should have been doing earlier, and it's more been reacting to this Ukraine situation than being proactive. And, I mean, it is good that yesterday President Biden announced new sanctions on Russia, and then new sanctions are coming out today as well. And in recent weeks, we've sent Javelin anti-tank weapons over to Ukraine, as well as an additional $200 million in financial military assistance. So the Biden administration is doing some positive actions, but definitely not enough. And I think that we still look weak as a nation in this situation.
Yeah, a lot of people say he should have started it even before, Putin was amassing troops along the Ukraine. He should have started saying, okay, you better pull those people away. We see what you're doing here. And until you do that, we're going to do this, you know, and maybe have taken a little bit more of an offensive approach rather than a defensive approach where, okay, you did this, now we'll do this, you know? It just doesn't seem like, I mean, it just doesn't, I think Biden seems to be showcasing weakness. Although Biden made a big deal when he was running for president. Boy, when I get in there, you know, Putin's afraid of me. He actually made a comment like that. It just seems like it's laughable now.
I totally agree. And like I said before, we wouldn't be in this situation if it weren't for Biden. Actually, in the last four presidencies in the United States, the only time that Russia did not invade one of its neighbors and partially occupy it was when President Trump was in office. And I'm just being objective here.
Yeah.
I think that Putin did not want to take advantage of President Trump. I think that he also could not predict what President Trump would do. And I think that America looked a lot stronger under President Trump. But before that, yeah, like in August 2008, under President Obama, Russia invaded Georgia and still partially occupies that nation. And then in 2014, Russia invaded and took over Crimea, and then, you know, a little bit part of the Donbas region in Ukraine. And then now, under President Biden, Russia is doing all this now in Ukraine.
Yeah. I'm going to read something from the New York Post here. These are Ukrainian New Yorkers, very concerned about Putin and comparing him to Hitler. Members of New York's Ukraine immigrant community bracing for war, comparing Putin to Adolf Hitler following his incendiary televised speech on Monday. I guess, is that the one where he kind of yelled at one of his foreign ministers there for not saying the right words? Or maybe it wasn't, but Putin seems to be a little unhinged right now. I don't blame him. Look what he's doing. He's got to be under some pressure himself. But like you said, it seems like he didn't do a doggone thing with Trump in. Trump figured out a way to soothe him. you know, and not allow him to do anything. As in, you don't know what I'll do, Vladimir, if you try something, so don't try it. And Vladimir sort of sat back, and maybe he was gleeful when he saw that Biden beat Trump.
Yeah, that's very well a possibility. It's hard to say exactly, but I think that Putin did kind of respect Trump more as a president than he's respecting President Biden. And I think Putin very much values the strongman image. That's part of why he is sending Russian troops into Ukraine right now. He wants to be seen as this strong leader and like he's all powerful. And Biden very much does not look like that right now, and so that's why he's sort of taking advantage of the United States.
So what do we do? We've got a stock market that has all of a sudden gone into a tailspin. We've got concern about the price of energy because of all of this stuff going on with Russia, you know, having a lot of energy deals that it has around the world. But if we're going to have this situation going on with the Ukraine, that's going to be affecting the price of gas. So we are here in the United States. We'll certainly be affected by this Ukrainian interlude, right?
Oh, no doubt. Yes. Just as you mentioned, gas prices are already going up. I think yesterday it was the price per barrel of oil went up to $96, which is the highest it's been in 7 years. And, you know, of course, inflation could only rise as a result of this. And the economy can just be sent into a tailspin. And I mean, I don't think we even know what all the economic repercussions could be right now, but those are just a couple of things that could happen. And then if this war potentially spills into neighboring countries in Europe, that could send the world economy into a tailspin. And then the U.S. would also be involved in another war, which would have an effect on us as Americans. So it's scary what's happening. There's not much that average Americans can do to help the situation. But it is important that the United States continues to support Ukraine throughout the situation and tries to mitigate the Russian threat as much as possible.
Yeah. Is there any particular thing that we could do that might stop Putin in his tracks? I mean, could we somehow have a major influence on worldwide banking? I know it's easier said than done. But is there any kind of like big red lever somewhere we could pull that would really? Because right now I don't think that Putin's all that upset. He's baked all of these things that are going on with sanctioning into his cake. Is there something we can pull out that would blow up the cake?
I think just continuing to do what the Biden administration has been doing would be good. Yesterday, sanctions were announced on the VEB, which is the state corporation bank of Russia, as well as its military bank was sanctioned. And then today, sanctions were imposed on three Russian oligarchs and two of their family members. So I think, honestly, more sanctions on Russian banks would be good to be more hard-hitting. And then sanctioning even more oligarchs, because three really isn't that many. And then also, President Biden announced yesterday that we are in talks with Germany to cut off Nord Stream 2. And German Chancellor Olaf Scholz said yesterday that the certification of Nord Stream 2 as a pipeline will be suspended for an indefinite amount of time. So that's good news, but we need to make sure we follow through on that and don't allow certification of the pipeline.
Yeah.
It's currently not in operation, and Russia would only benefit from its operation. So those are a few things that we can do.
Yeah. When they say suspension, that's like, well, we're still going to do it, but we're not going to do it right now while you're inside of the Ukraine, or at least we won't do it for a while you're inside of the Ukraine. But, you know, I'm always worried about some of these NATO countries sort of pulling away from the rest of NATO. I hope it's not the case, but let's be honest, we are worried a little bit about Germany, because Germany gets the crude, apparently, on Nord Stream 2, and that from Germany, they then resell energy to other countries, you know? So they're a distribution country. It means a lot to them. I wonder if we should go in there and say, look, we'll help you somehow, we, the United States and the other NATO countries, with this money that you're not going to make. you know, with having the pipeline operational. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there because you want to keep Germany and other countries in the fold, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think it would be great if the U.S. could up its production of liquefied natural gas and exported that to European countries, including Germany, to help offset this reliance on Russian gas, because it's really important just for energy security that Europe, our European allies, are not relying on Russian gas. And so I don't know how much it's possible right now, but it'd be great if the U.S. rather could up its LNG production.
Yeah. Yeah. Try talking Biden into that. Remember, he's the same guy that shut down our pipelines that were in the process of being built to expand our ability to distribute energy. But Alexis, thank you so very much for coming on. I know we are all keeping our eyes peeled on all of this stuff, and I know we'll be talking again down the road. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Paul, for having me on.
It's our pleasure. All right. Alexis Morajczyk from the Heritage Foundation. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, Ron DeSantis, our governor, he made a video. I think he was in a bar when he did. It had to do with Jen Psaki. In a press briefing, told everybody, hey, take a deep breath, down a margarita as far as the inflation goes. We're going to take care of it. Well, we're going to talk about that with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Cerasi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Sad, angry, pissed off. Feel those emotions. Go to a kickboxing class. Have a margarita. Do whatever you need to do this weekend. And then wake up on Monday morning. We got to keep fighting.
Having a margarita is well and good, but it is not a cure for Bidenflation.
Very good, Ed. Just going to talk about that. And, of course, that was Jen Psaki and then Governor Ron DeSantis. And yesterday, did you know it was National Margarita Day? Did you have a margarita yesterday, Ed? I bet you forgot that.
I'm not really into margaritas.
Okay. Well, that's all right. Anyway, DeSantis took a jab at Press Secretary Jen Psaki in this new video yesterday, National Margarita Day. It opens with a clip, and you played some of it there, with Jen Psaki talking about, let's kick back, have a margarita, do whatever you need to do this weekend, you know, come on, let's get with it. Then the camera pans to DeSantis watching Psaki from a Florida bar with a margarita. And he says, having a margarita is well and good, but it is not a cure for Bidenflation.
Now, let's go back, let's take that back 2 years. Trump comes out and tells people to have a margarita and quit worrying about the headline. CNN would be, Trump tells Americans, go get drunk and don't worry about the economy.
That's right. Exactly. It'll say, Trump urges alcoholism to compensate for a horrible national situation.
They've told Biden that Psaki said, told Americans to go have a margarita.
By the way,
hey, can you just tell Biden, is it margarita time already?
By the way, Psaki is her last name, right?
Psaki.
So, you know, in Japan, instead of a margarita.
The P is silent.
I know. Yeah. Psaki. I'm Psaki. Saying it's Psaki. And in Japan, they drink sake. It's sake, a rice sake, wine.
Sake very powerful.
Very good. Very good. Now, we have a guy. He's not Japanese. I think he's Italian. He is our. He is the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. So, Andrew, did you see that not stupid video, but did you see that video that DeSantis did with Jen Psaki?
No, Paul, you know, I'm sorry I missed that one. It sounded like a good one. But, you know, Ron always got an answer for these people.
Yeah, I think he does.
He handles them all quite well.
He does. And his point is Bidenflation. I like it, Bidenflation. Sort of like Bidenitis, right?
Well, I can't wait till we have the State of the Union mess Monday.
Yeah, what is Biden going to say, do you think, Andrew? He's going to get up there. We got the war in
he's
Ukraine.
He's going to say, listen.
Thank
no
you and good night.
No more mandates in this country. I cured COVID. I got rid of it with all the shots that I gave away, all the free time. We got rid of COVID. You people are free from that. That's what he's going to say.
Do you remember one of the last times that Trump made a State of the Union and who stood up behind him and ripped?
Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember that? She ripped the pages of the address because they all get copies over there.
Well, you know, maybe she'll stand up there this time and rip up. It depends.
We're talking about Nancy Pelosi. Oh, goodness. So he's up there. I don't know what good, you know, he ought to get up there and say, ladies and gentlemen, thank you and good night, and just walk away. That'd be the best thing he could.
Paul, you know, he's going to say the country's in a perfect state. Don't worry about nothing. Everything is good. I got it under control. Because he's going to be reading the whole speech, and people are going to be sitting there laughing. Like I say, it's not at the State of the Union address. It's the State of the Union mess.
And he waits until March. Typically right. Given in late January. He waits until March.
That's right. Well, it's taking people a long time to get their speech ready for the teleprompter.
I suppose. Is there anything... go ahead.
Well, you know, we got this trucking thing happening here this weekend. Look at...
Tell us about it.
They're putting up fences and gates all around the Capitol. How come they don't do that to the border?
I know.
What are they afraid of? But, you know, I was listening to the truckers speaking this morning, and he says, listen, people... We want you to know one thing. This is not Canada. And they had better not try any of the tactics that Trudeau tried. Because if they do, they're going to be very sorry. So yeah. It sounds a little different to me, Paul. And you know, it's like Emperor Hirohito said years and years ago, we could never attack the mainland USA because there would be a weapon under every blade of grass.
Yeah, he was right about that.
This is not Canada, Paul. People are upset, and that's all there is to it. And let me tell you something. If they bring in the peacekeepers there, what do they call them? I forget, the blue helmets.
Oh, you're talking about around Washington?
Peacekeepers. The United Nations peacekeepers.
Oh, the peace.
They bring them in like they did in Canada.
Oh, no, they're not going
to. You guys will be in trouble.
Yeah, well, first of all, they're not going to bring the UN peacekeepers you know, to go around the Capitol building. That would look like we're giving up authority to a world, you know.
No, they did that in Canada.
Were those UN peacekeepers?
That's what I'm hearing.
I don't think they were UN peacekeepers. No, they were Canadian military.
Saying Canadian whatever.
Not UN peacekeepers. I'll look it up, but I don't think so.
I hope not.
Anyway, your point is well taken, though. Your point is well taken. There is more freedom here. Technically, than there is in Canada for certain things. They clamp down more on demonstrations up there.
Oh, you know what, Paul? That's because the people are a little more laid back there.
I think so.
As aggressive as the Americans.
I think you're right. I think they've been they're a little more docile. They have a British culture. You know that. In Canada. They're not. How many demonstrations do you ever hear going on in the UK? Well, there are some, but generally the British themselves are a little more laid back. I think there's a lot of that in Canada.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's too much of it here, buddy.
No.
I think the people here are upset with everything that's going on. And look at the moron gets on television the other day and says, the people better be ready to expect to pay more for gasoline as this Russian thing keeps going on. What is he telling the people? Is he crazy?
Well, that's what I say. That's why I say you got to get up there for State of the Union and say, ladies and gentlemen, thank you and good night. I mean, what is he going to say that's positive? Well, let's see. Inflation, stock market, southern border, Ukrainian border, cost of gas.
But
nothing's in their shelves. I mean, and everything's, what's he going to say? Everything's coming up roses?
The whole gas thing.
I told you. Go ahead.
The whole gas thing just really, I get frustrated with it because people don't understand that the gas prices are basically fueled, no pun intended, by rumors. Okay?
It's futures. You know, yeah.
Okay, just because Russia's going to invade in Ukraine doesn't mean they have. Hasn't affected any amount of oil flow whatsoever, but gas prices are going up. On the same token, you can't sit there and say, and it's been said before, I've heard it within the last couple of weeks, because I hear it every week, how can you blame Biden for the gas prices just for shutting down the XL pipeline when no oil was actually flowing through it? Well, the thing is, when you shut it down, you have told the rest of the world, we're going to depend on your oil. What shot the oil up?
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't get that, though. Well, there's no oil coming out of it, so how can you say?
Yeah, I know. They don't realize that, much like a lot of the farm products, the price of the product is based on what they future expectations.
Yes.
That's why it's called futures.
Yes.
So the price that you will see, or even the stock market, is reacting on future events, what they perceive to be. So like with gasoline and oil and all of that, purchases are made, just like within agriculture, purchases are made now in anticipation of, if I don't buy it now at this price, it's going to be higher if I buy it later at that price.
You know, it could counteract this whole thing, restart the pipeline.
That certainly would be helpful, because then people would say, in the future, we're going to have more energy and oil, crude, coming through here, and we'll be able to handle it better.
You got to realize he didn't just stop the pipeline. He stopped all oil exploration.
Yes.
He stopped drilling.
In government land, you're right.
He stopped drilling.
He doesn't want fracking.
He stopped all production of fuel in this country.
Well, he can only stop drilling and production in government areas. But there is so much. Trump was willing to allow that drilling in areas where, you know, we've got a vast amount of it, and the Biden, of course, won't allow that.
Yeah, and don't give me that crap. They're worried about global warming. That had just because it had Trump's stamp on it. That's why they shut it down.
Oh, of course.
I think what's causing most global warming is the Democrats with all their hot air.
Yeah.
Oh, no question.
That's all they're spewing lately.
You know, even blue-collar Democrats, they see what's going on. They don't give a damn about global warming right now. They give a damn about having to spend $75 to fill up their tank.
You know, Paul, I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're Republican. You want people to hurt, you get them in their pocket. That's just like if you get in trouble and you go to court in front of a judge. If he knows you got money and you committed a crime, you know what he's going to do? He's going to fine the hell out of you and fine the hell out of you.
Mm-hmm.
If you got nothing, he throws you in jail for a month.
Hey, I got to ask you something a little bit off the discussion here, but a new poll from Gallup finds that younger Democrats are tuning out national news during the Biden era. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? They don't want to hear it. Huge decline.
Because they made the mistake and voted for it.
Maybe so.
How can you even watch any news at night anymore?
I don't watch local news.
You can't
watch local news at all.
You can't watch the affiliate news. And the other night during the Olympics, whatever, I was bored. And I flipped over to Kimmel just to see if...
Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, just to see if anything had changed. About a half a minute, he made a joke about something, and then, Paul, I'm not lying, almost 5 full minutes of Trump bashing.
Really?
5 full minutes. One after another, his taxes and this, and then he may be going to jail, and this and that, and then Trump this and Trump that. Unbelievable.
Does he think that his audience
like an ex-wife that won't go away, you know?
Not a bad word about Biden, I take it.
Nothing.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, Then see, this is why maybe they're tuning that out too. Kimmel's numbers are not that great anymore.
He's always been fourth in the three-man race.
You know that Gutfeld on Fox News has got a higher rating than he does?
Yeah.
And the other guy too. He's higher than the other guy too, whoever that
guy. You know what I'm curious to see, Paul? I'm curious to see in how much the public is going to back these truckers.
Yeah.
I want to see if millions of people are out on the streets with them, because if they do that, it's going to be a whole other world.
So is there going to be, as you understand it, a big get-together of the truckers in Washington during the State of the Union speech?
They're going to choke off the beltway or something, and they say they're going to wrap around it so they can't do nothing in Washington.
Will they allow some truckers up there in the balcony? They should be allowed to come in and listen to the Biden speech.
One of the Democrat representatives, he says, what we need to do is start confiscating these trucks when they hit Pennsylvania and giving these trucks to businesses that don't have the money to expand that want to.
Oh, my goodness.
And one head guy said that would be the biggest mistake they ever try. He says, we are not in Canada.
Yeah. So yeah.
I want to see what happens here, and I want the people. I'd like to see all the people out in the streets, man, and shut this country down for a week.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything going on locally here in Tampa, St. Pete, with the trucking?
Paul, I haven't heard nothing about it.
Yeah. Well, there's no reason to do anything here, but I just was wondering if, you know.
Like I said, I don't even know why they're having a convoy. I just, with all the truck drivers, just like they used to do years ago, they go on strike, paralyze the country.
You know,
nobody show up for work.
You know, my stepbrother's a trucker in Pennsylvania area. I have to give him a call.
See what he thinks.
And see if he's got anything planned up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well.
But who knows? Who knows? I'm excited, like I say, for the State of the Union mess Monday.
Yeah, I bet you're excited.
I got to watch it just how much of a fool he makes himself. And I want to hear how many people come running out the doors thrilling how good Biden is.
I hope they.
I still haven't seen anybody with a Build Back Better hat on yet. In fact, I don't see too many Biden stickers left on any.
No,
cars.
Build Back Better has gone bonkers. How about that? By the way, I would love them to pan the camera to pan the Supreme Court as Biden is talking. I would like to see how many of the conservatives are falling asleep during this speech.
I understand a lot of the conservatives aren't even going to be showing up.
I think you may be right.
Restrictions.
That may be true. As always, thank you, Andrew, so much. We'll be talking again on Friday.
You got it, Paul. Have a good day.
And the same. There he goes, the master barber. Let's take our final break. When we come back, speaking of the Supreme Court, they're going to hear the case of a website designer who will not do a gay web wedding announcement.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
We're back in Dade City. Your adventure begins at the Bay Area Renaissance Festival. 8 stages of exciting and hilarious entertainment. Full contact, live armored jousting, mermaids, fairies, pirates, Vikings, and more. Endless shopping at more than 100 different artisan booths. The Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Family fun for all. Weekends, February 19th through April 3rd. Mark your calendars and get your tickets now at BayAreaRenFest.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for coming along for the ride. We are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you cannot listen live, and I know I say this all the time, but it's important, Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast, All you got to do to listen to one of our shows recently, go to ourfreedomworks.com, excuse me, ourfreedomworks.com, and click on the podcast button at the top of the website. And away you go. Freedomworks.com. Okay, so the Supreme Court said yesterday it would consider whether a Colorado website designer had a First Amendment right to refuse to produce same-sex wedding announcements on a web design. Now, that's kind of interesting, you know?
Well,
go ahead.
Isn't that like the bakery?
Yeah, I was going to get
same thing?
I think so. I think that might exactly be right. Yeah. Now, do you remember in 2015, the landmark Supreme Court case which extended marriage rights to same-sex couples? Since then, the Supremes have moved rather cautiously. Last June, as an example, they decided that a Catholic foster services agency that got city funding was still allowed to turn away same-sex couples, even though they were getting basically federal or state funding. And then you talked about the wedding cake situation. And that was also something that went into, I think, if I remember that right, I don't see it here, went into the, was in favor of the person making the wedding cake, right? Mm-hmm. They ended up not having to make the wedding cake.
I think so. I mean,
I'm trying to see if it's here.
What happened to right of, you know, refusal of service to anyone? I mean, when you go up to a convenience store, they usually have a sign that says "no shoe, no shirt, no shoes, no service." Is that being discriminated?
Yeah, people who don't wear shoes? You can. And from a libertarian perspective, whether or not you even have to give somebody a reason, you could say, "Look, this is a private business, and I'm not going to serve you."
Right.
And you can
you
say, well, you're discriminating.
Reason.
Well, maybe I am, but I have a right to.
You don't have a reason. You don't have to have
it's
a reason.
It's my business.
No, you don't have to have a reason.
Right. So the court has yet to rule squarely on whose rights, LGBT community or religious conservatives, must yield when they directly conflict. This case, which is, by the way, involving a Colorado designer, will be argued in the court's next term. Okay, it's not going to come out now. But they have agreed to take it. So they are saying in this article I'm reading that this suggests that the Supremes are ready to address the issue of a private business on whether or not he can be forced to accommodate a wedding, a website design, flowers, or whatever else.
To me, you said it right there, private.
Yeah.
Private.
I think so.
It's not a public thing.
Exactly.
You know, if you don't like it, if I tell you I don't want to do it, then what are you going to do? Then you're going to go tell the entire gay community not to shop there. Fine. Whatever.
Exactly. Here's the thing. You can go to another website designer that will be delighted to do it.
Somebody else take your money.
Exactly. Or another bakery.
Whatever.
Or another florist. They're going to find them. There's no question about
That's
it.
That's what I say. These people, they don't want us to get along. They want us to go along with what they want. Not get along with what they want. Go along with what they want.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
There is a difference.
It means we have a choice or we don't have a choice.
Right. They're going to take away your freedom to decide to do what you want with your own personal property.
Right.
Very well put, my friend. Very well put. Okay. It is time for a top 10 that I think is rather interesting. Comes from Ranker, R-A-N-K-E-R. These are the top 10 grossing movies. Now, that doesn't mean, because they might have spent a lot of money.
Sure.
But we're talking about the money they took in.
Right. Oh, gross. The money
gross.
Coming in.
Yeah, gross. Yeah. No matter how much they spent, they could still lose.
Right.
Theoretically, it could be the top movie, grossing movie.
Mm.
Yeah, they could. Anyway, I want to see it if you know what's number one. Now, you got to listen carefully so you don't go and repeat one of them I already mentioned, okay? Here we go. Top 10 grossing movies of 2021. Number 10. Free Guy. Do you remember that one?
I haven't seen that. I've seen it being advertised.
Yeah, I've seen trailers and stuff. It grossed $121.6 million. Okay? Free Guy.
Was any good?
I don't know. I didn't see it. Number 9. Ghostbusters Afterlife.
That was good.
Was it?
Yes.
Well, it grossed $122.6 $4 million.
Once word got out, because people were like, because this would be the fourth installment. They did 1, 2, and then the women did number 3, which was a total flop.
Was it?
And then this one came out, and then people were going back to see it two or three times.
What did you like about it?
The way it was done, it brought today's technology in, and then it kind of meshed everything together.
Okay.
You know, in the end.
Well put. Number 8, A Quiet Place, Part 2. I saw it.
I did too.
It's on Redbox. Yeah. What'd you think?
Same as
the deaf
one.
Girl.
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of interesting, kind of interesting with these strange alien-like creatures chasing them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it grossed $160.2 million. Million. So aliens and deaf people, it works. Okay. Yep. Number 7. No Time to Die. That's the James Bond movie. Did you know he was killed in it?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can say it now because it's been out for a long
time. That's it, huh? No more James Bond?
James Bond was killed at the end.
Wow.
Yeah. At least there's no more whoever it was there that was playing him the last time.
That's like the day Captain Kirk died, you know?
Yeah.
They killed him off.
Did they? Mm. Well, it grossed $160.8 million, all right? Number 6, Eternals. You know about that one?
Mm.
I don't either. Walt Disney. Must be one of those. It's an action movie. $164.6 million gross. Number 5, F9, The Fast Saga. You know that one?
No.
It's a Universal action picture, $173 million gross. All right. Number 4, Black Widow. You know that one?
No. Well, I've heard of it.
Walt Disney production, action movie, $183.7 million. Wow. Mm. Number 3, Venom. Let There Be Carnage. I love the name, Venom. Yeah. Let There Be Carnage. What a name. Have you seen that?
I tried to watch that one. I just couldn't get through it.
No?
Yeah.
It was really strange?
Yeah,
it
bored me.
Fake?
Yeah.
Fakey? Okay. Well, it grossed $212.6 million, Ed.
Yeah.
A lot of people must have liked it.
Children liked it, I think.
Children? Yeah. Is it more that way?
Well, it's the young adult type.
Young adult.
Thing,
yeah. Okay. Number 2. Shang-Chi and the Legend of something or other, because it didn't finish. But anyway, Shang-Chi is number 2. It's a Walt Disney action movie. I think these are Asians that are in it, okay? $224.5 million.
Okay.
All right. So we're at the number 1. Ed, do you want to even hazard a guess as to what? I'll give you a hint.
All right.
Superman types.
Yeah.
Well, Superman types. I didn't say Superman.
Is it Spider-Man?
Bingo! Spider-Man No Way Home.
Another one. I got about 45 minutes into it. It was just dumb.
Really?
Yeah.
Cartoonish. Well, you see, you're maturing.
No, it wasn't cartoonish.
No.
It was just, to me, it just, I don't know, it just lacked anything. It was just boring.
Yeah. I'm wondering if these characters, because at one time I thought that guy that played him was Tobey Maguire. I guess that's not him, right?
I don't know.
No, it's not him. Was the kind of guy that you felt for.
Yeah.
I don't know about it anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, but it grossed $613.6 million. So we might not like it, but boy, there must be somebody that does. Thank you so very much. We will be back on Friday. Keep the faith and remember, freedom works. And she's loving with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late at night. You know, I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl. WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.1.